hear the sound of a mighty rushing wave.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Prophecies fulfilled, signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children." We'll be going home when Jesus steps out. I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wave.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Prophecies fulfilled, signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children." We'll be going home when Jesus steps out.
A very good evening to all listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. We thank God for another Saturday. This is Eben, and I'll be with you from now till 9:30 p.m. And tonight is quite loaded. Lots of things to talk about, and I believe we can finish within the time, but if not, we'll continue God willing next week. Indeed, we are living in very, very, very interesting times, and it's just something that I hope people can understand the times we are in and how to go about their lives and how we live our daily lives and all that. It's very important we become more conscious of the times we are in. I'll first start with the news, and then we'll proceed to talk about some other important things. But tonight, the week has been very, very busy. Lots of things to discuss. The news is filled with so many things, and it's important we also understand things from the Bible perspective, because the Word of God is the ultimate point of reference as believers. And it's when we see what the Word of God says and compare it to the news and gives you a better understanding, you really see that indeed it's not just about, oh, we are in the end times or we are in this and that, but you just compare what the Bible says and you compare with what we are seeing in the news. It's very important we see these things from the biblical point of view as well. And I read portions of Matthew 24 and then we proceed with the news. And it's very important. Matthew 24, it says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." The end is not yet. So, you know, people see the war and all that. The end is not yet. "For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines," and we are seeing it, it's unfolding, it's going to escalate, it's going to increase, "and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." The beginning of sorrows. So these are just the warm-ups, and that's quite serious. Warm-ups, that's the beginning. So you can imagine, as time goes on, how things are going to shape up in the world. It's very important we understand what the Word of God says, because it's so easy to get disheartened, it's so easy to feel dejected, to be fearful, to be worried and all that. But we shouldn't allow ourselves to be taken down by these things. So let's stand as believers. And I believe the more we build our faith in these things, the better it will be for us. It's so important, because we need to stand on the Word of God. We need to be hooked to the Word of God daily. We need to be building our faith, reading the Word of God, praying, you know, increasing our trust in God is so important. Increasing our trust in God is, because ultimately that's what we need in the times we are in and in the times ahead. We need Him seriously. We need Him more than ever before. It's so important, because the way the world is going, if we don't know how to grow in the Lord, we are going to be handicapped when the trials and the temptations and the difficult times come in. We need to stand firm. We need to be grounded. And at the end of the day, it's the Word in us that is going to empower us to stand in the times ahead. The Word in us is what we need to stand. Because each and every day, the world is getting darker and darker. And it's so important we stand. There is this song, I want to start with this one and we'll continue from there.
By the power of the name El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Irkom Kona Adonai, I will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the realm, you save the son of Abraham. Your hand, you turn. turn the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees. By your might, you set your children free. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erkom Kona Adonai. I will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.
A beautiful song by Amy Grant's El Shaddai. And it's an old song. And, you know, tonight, and I'll be starting talking about God, I mean. And I'll be starting with El Shaddai because we need him. We are going to need him in the times that we are entering. I mean, we are entering into a very, we've entered a very rough season. And we really need to understand and know God at another level because we are going to need him. Yes, we are going to need him. All right, so let me get into the news. Lots of things very, very packed this week. Two dead after Japan hit by earthquake. And this was a powerful one, 7.4. A lot of shaking and, you know, 7.4 quake was in the same area as one which caused the 2011 Fukushima nuclear disaster. But it was not damaged this time, according to officials. And in some areas, the earthquake was too forceful for people to stand, and buildings rattled in the capital, Tokyo. Then another one happened in Iran. That's a 6.0. And this was according to German Research Center for Geosciences. You know, a lot of things happening in the world. So many things. See, the reason why it's becoming more comfortable and easier to say we are in the end times is that it's a collection of Bible prophecies all coming together at the same time. So it's not just like something happens and a very long time before another thing happens and another long time before something else happens. Now, within a week, sometimes within a day, you can see everything that Jesus talked about within a day in various news networks. That's the reason why you can safely say that we are in the times that the Bible talks about. Then we have getting to the wars and rumors of wars. We are having missiles fired towards U.S. consulates in Iraq, and this came from Iran. So a series of missiles were fired on Sunday from Iran in the direction of the U.S. consulate in Erbil in Iraq, a senior U.S. official told Fox News. The missiles numbered as many as 12, according to the Associated Press. None of the missiles made contact with the consulate, according to the U.S. report. And then all the U.S. personnel were accounted for at the consulate. But then a new report came the next day, and the Iranian Revolutionary Guard said that, yes, they fired the missiles at Iraq in response to Israeli drone strike. So Iran confirmed that they fired 12 missiles from its territory that fell near the newly constructed U.S. consulate in Erbil in northwestern Iraq on Saturday night. Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps claimed responsibility for the attack on Sunday morning and said it was a response to the recent crimes of the fake Zionist regime. And if Israel does something, go and attack Israel. Why are you attacking? Anyway, they classify U.S. and Israel as big Satan and little Satan. So they are partners in crime. So if you hit their senior brother, U.S., it's the same as hitting Israel. I mean, that's interesting logic that they have there. So following the recent crimes of the fake Zionist regime and the previous announcement that the crimes and evils of this infamous regime will not go unanswered, the Strategic Center for Conspiracy and Evil of the Zionists was targeted last night by powerful point-to-point missiles of the IRGC, said the statement. While the initial reports indicated that the IRGC statement on Sunday was referring to the alleged Israeli airstrike, Iranian and pro-Iranian media reported that the attack was carried out in response to an alleged Israeli drone attack on the IRGC base in Mahidast in Iran. And another report said that actually that Israeli drone attack destroyed over 100 drones, according to for the Iranians. So it was quite a big blow. But so that's what they are trying to retaliate by trying to hit the U.S. But you can imagine what would have happened had this any of these missiles hit the U.S. embassy. It becomes a whole power keg in the Middle East. And already, you know, the world is feeling the brunt of these two nations, Russia and Ukraine. And then if this is also to become another fireworks, something else. But then, let's go through China first and we continue. Chinese cities and factories locked down as massive COVID outbreak spreads. COVID is going down. It's now going up again. So 17 million people in Chinese tech hub of Shenzhen began their first full day under lockdown on Monday as a key factory making iPhones closed and restrictions spread across Shanghai and other major cities in an effort to extinguish the biggest ever threat to the nation's zero tolerance COVID strategy. The southern city of Shenzhen took the measures on Sunday as authorities battled an Omicron flare-up in factories and neighborhoods linked to nearby Hong Kong, which is recording scores of daily deaths as the virus runs rampant. Then Shenzhen is one of 10 cities nationwide to issue some level of stay-at-home order. And health officials have warned tighter measures could be on their way as concerns mount over the resilience of Chinese zero COVID approach in the face of highly transmissible Omicron variant. When others are easing restrictions and all that. But when China sneezes, the world catches cold because the effect of it is the supply chain challenges that we've witnessed in the last 2 years and it's entered the third year as it is. And so this headline, the next news is new China lockdowns and Ukraine conflict bring another wave of supply chain issues. I'll be talking more about these things, but let me read this one. It says the retailers and consumers better get ready for another wave of product shortages caused by backups in the supply chain. And this wave could prove worse than the last one. So depending on our definition of waves, this might be number 3 or 4, says Abi Eskenazi, CEO of the Association of Supply Chain Management, ASCM, the industry's largest non-profit supporting supply chain professionals. Quote, the entire supply chain is under tremendous stress right now. We are dealing with a cascade of disruptions which is adding stress beyond what is already under. Unquote. He continues and says that the fact that the supply chain never recovered from the experiences over the last 2 years makes it less able to handle the emerging challenges from the latest China shutdowns and Russia's war on Ukraine. This is just another sequel to the horror movie we've experienced over the last 3 years and it doesn't have a positive ending. It's impossible to compare the humanitarian side of the tragic loss of life from war and the pandemic, but their effects will be felt throughout the supply chain. The supply chain is a global interconnected ecosystem that requires harmony, consistency, and collaboration among all the partners in the system. When one node in the system either increases or decreases capacity, it has downstream and upstream effects, according to Eskenazi. It goes on further to say, right now, the technology sector is most at risk from the recent disruptions, but virtually every other industry depends on the parts they produce to operate. Ukraine, for example, is a major source for neon gas, which is used in chip making, and land transportation across the country is at a standstill, requiring shippers to turn to the already crowded overseas routes. Some 90% of global trade is shipped over the ocean between different parts of the world, he reveals. For shippers impacted by Ukraine, they've shifted to Scandinavia on the western side or to eastern China. And on top of that, we have the container issues that have lingered with containers not being where they need to be. It all has to ripple through the system, and we aren't anywhere near the end of it. Higher retail prices across the board are compounding the challenges for consumers caused by the snags in the supply chain. Supply chain issues took a lot of blame for inflation, and now with gas prices steadily climbing up as Russia oil imports are cut, consumers must brace themselves for even higher prices ahead. The Russia oil embargo will affect us directly, but also indirectly in the prices of other products and services sourced from Europe and elsewhere that are reliant on the Russian oil, he advises. What keeps supply chain executives up at night is the inadequacy of data to plan for the future due to the current uncertainties added to the uncertainties that remain from last year. Supply chain is an industry that runs on data, and the data we've seen over the last 2 years is anything but consistent. He shares that we used to be able to effectively plan 12 to 18 or even 36 months out. Now we are down to 6 to 9 months maximum. It's layer upon layer of complexity, and it takes not just technology but knowledge. Workers to unravel the data and make the necessary decisions to move each company in the system forward. And that's what he was saying about the supply chain thing. I'll explain better when I add some other news and then get the right picture, because it's quite a serious issue that the man was discussing. Then, into some of the war issues, we have Putin has just used deadly hypersonic missiles for the first time ever as Ukraine war takes a dark turn. So this was yesterday. So Vladimir Putin has deployed the use of deadly hypersonic missiles in Ukraine for the first time ever as the conflict in Ukraine takes a dark turn. The Russian military says it's used the Kinzhal hypersonic missile to destroy an underground ammunition depot in Delitin. The other name there, should take it. According to local news outlets, Zvezda. And details about the operation remain scarce, but Russia has previously bragged about its hypersonic weapons arsenal. Missiles such as the 3M22 Zircon are said to be so fast and able to fly so low that they evade traditional anti-missile defense systems. Such weapons are believed to have a range of around 1,000 kilometers or more. And Britain's Defense Intelligence and Chief described it as an emerging strategy of attrition. Without major cities captured, Russia seems to be turning to the reckless and indiscriminate use of firepower, and that will worsen the humanitarian crisis. This is according to Lieutenant General Jim Hockenhau on Friday. In this hypersonic missiles, some can move at 10 times the speed of sound. So really, really, really fast. But then see, the longer they struggle to take Kiev and the other big cities, the more deadly the thing becomes, because that means more destruction, and it's something else. And then Lavrov, that's the Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, says that Russia and China cooperation will only get stronger. The bear and the dragon, a very dangerous combination. Russian foreign minister Sergei Lavrov insisted Saturday that cooperation between Russia and China will only improve as the West continues to undermine relations between the two countries. This cooperation will get stronger because at a time when the West is blatantly undermining all the foundations on which the international system is based, of course, we, as two great powers, need to think how to carry on in this world. Interfax news agency quoted Lavrov as saying, China has reportedly considered providing military support to Russia after already aligning itself to provide economic relief from the crippling sanctions enacted by other countries. U.S. State Secretary Antony Blinken on Friday said that President Biden will make clear to Chinese President Xi Jinping that China will bear responsibility for any actions it takes to support Russia's aggression. And then yesterday, Joe Biden had a call with the Chinese president. So this headline says, Biden uses call with Xi to lay out consequences for China if it supports Russia's attack on Ukraine. So President Joe Biden sought to use the 110-minute video call on Friday to dissuade his Chinese counterpart from assisting Russia in its war on Ukraine, a pivotal moment that could undermine the trajectory of the bloody conflict. President Xi Jinping told Biden that both the U.S. and China have responsibility for ensuring peace, according to state media, an oblique suggestion he is uninterested in escalating the conflict. Afterward, however, the White House said its concerns over Beijing's possible intervention haven't been assuaged. We have that concern, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said. The president detailed what the implications and consequences would be if China provides material support to Russia as it conducts brutal attacks against Ukraine cities and civilians. And that is something we will be watching and the world will be watching. Senior administration officials described the call as direct, substantive, and detailed, but would not offer many details about the lengthy conversation. The bulk of the leaders' discussion centered on the war in Ukraine and implications the crisis will have for U.S.-China relations and international order, an official said, but the administration refused to publicly detail what those consequences would be. And that's interesting, because if the U.S. decides, I mean, they can't sanction China as they've done Russia, because U.S., the current state of U.S. as it is financially, economically, is directly linked to China. I mean, a lot of big U.S. industries are located in China. A lot of things you buy in the U.S. today made in China. So it's not as simple as you just can't sanction them like you've done Russia. And China is now a very, very, very big player in the system. And the truth is the Chinese don't fear the Americans any longer. So China will not back down. They will still remain friends with Russia. And don't be surprised if this whole thing becomes a China-Russia affair, you know. It's something which, you know, this whole thing can escalate into something much, much, much bigger. All right, but there was a big one this week when Biden approves more anti-aircraft systems, drones for Ukraine, and warns of, this is my interest, this statement that he made, warns of long and difficult battle. And the longer this war goes, the effects, the ripple effects, is going to trigger into levels which all of us will feel it. Already we are feeling it. And the longer it goes, the worse it will be. So President Joe Biden on Wednesday approved an additional $800 million in military aid for Ukraine, saying the United States is answering Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky's call for more help, while warning of a long and difficult battle ahead against Russia. Mm-hmm. You know something we don't know? U.S. intelligence, long and difficult battle. And indeed, Russia is not going to back down that easily. So the more they get ammunition to fight against Russia, the longer this battle is going to last. So the new package includes, I mean, a whole lot of 800 Stinger anti-aircraft systems, 200 javelins, 1,000 light anti-armor weapons, a whole lot of list. The list is quite extensive. Then Biden warned that this could be a long and difficult battle, but said the American people are supporting the people of Ukraine in the face of Putin's immoral, unethical attacks on civilian populations. We are united in our abhorrence of Putin's depraved onslaughts. We are going to continue to have their backs as they fight for their freedom, their democracy, and very survival, the president said. We are going to give Ukraine the arms to fight, to defend themselves through all the difficult days ahead. But then this thing didn't go well with the Russians, and then you have this news headline: Russia threatens any country, underline any, including America, any country that helps arm Ukraine, quote, legitimate targets, unquote, for Russian attacks. So Russian Foreign Minister Sergey Lavrov on Friday, that's yesterday, said that any countries providing military equipment to aid Ukraine in its fight against the Russian incursion would be considered, quote, legitimate targets, unquote, for any Russian strikes. In a statement, Lavrov told the RT television channel that any cargo containing foreign supplies that Russia believes to include military equipment will be fair game. We clearly said that any cargo moving into Ukrainian territory, which we would believe is carrying weapons, would be fair game, he said. This is clear because we are implementing the operation, the goal of which is to remove any threat to the Russian Federation coming from the Ukraine soil. Deputy Foreign Minister Sergey Ryabkov made similar comments last week, the Financial Times reported. And that's quite serious and very significant, because if US is going to give them this 800 million worth of a whole list of powerful things, which indeed can really sabotage the Russian operations there, they are not going to sit down and watch these things come easily. And once how they deliver it, because the airports, they've destroyed most of the airports, so by all means they'll be coming through the land from Poland side, and they will attack. And if they attack too, it becomes so. See, this whole issue is very volatile. We can sleep one evening, wake up in the morning, the whole story has changed into something much, much, much bigger. And that's where this whole thing is. It doesn't end there. We have Russian ambassador warns that Bosnia and Herzegovina could face same military aggression unleashed on Ukraine if the country joins NATO. So Russian ambassador on Thursday said Bosnia and Herzegovina could face the same military aggression unleashed on Ukraine if the country joins NATO. Igor Kabovkov made the remarks during an interview with broadcaster FTV on Thursday. He noted that the country is free to join the 30-member alliance, but that Moscow would respond. Euractiv TV reported, if Bosnia and Herzegovina decides to be a member of any alliance, that is an internal matter, he said. Our response is a different matter. Ukraine's example shows what we expect. Should there be any threats, we will respond. Wow. So in essence, no one else should join NATO, because so far as they deem it as a threat to their border, they will react. But now the U.S. Army or military fears that this news is, U.S. military fears Putin will use nuclear weapons if Ukraine continues to resist invasion. And that's quite a worry, because the longer it stays, the more embarrassing it becomes for Russia, and the more deadly they would want to act. So Vladimir Putin will edge closer to deploying a nuclear attack if Ukraine continues its valiant pushback against the invasion of Russian troops, a top U.S. defense official warned. Lieutenant General Scott Beria, This director of the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency detailed the grim concerns in a new 67-page summary of global threats on Thursday. It raises the specter of a possible nuclear attack on Kyiv, and that is the Ukrainian capital, which has so far resisted Russian advances, and said a desperate Putin posed a threat to the whole world. His report notes that Russia claims to be developing missiles that are capable of circumventing Western defenses in order to ensure that Russia can credibly inflict unacceptable damage on the West. Russia recently deployed a non-nuclear missiles that come equipped with decoy projectiles, a feature that hadn't previously been seen by Western defense bosses, giving a possible glimpse of the type of feature that could be fitted to the most devastating bombs in Putin's arsenal. That's serious. So, enough of the war reports. That gives us an idea of the state of the world today and what is to come. And what is to come is quite extensive because it's very uncertain, full of uncertainties. This whole thing can escalate into something much, much bigger. But then, let's get into this segment, which is very important news, because that one concerns us anyway, directly and indirectly still, but directly because it's related to food. So we have bird flu continues to wipe out poultry across the U.S. Iowa forced to kill 5.3 million chickens. If you've been following some of these foreign news, by the time, if care is not taken, by the time this year ends, there will be no poultry farms left with chicken, because it's happening in various countries and they are being killed. Interesting times. The confirmation of bird flu at another Iowa egg-laying farm will force the killing of more than 5.3 million birds or chickens, according to state officials on Friday. Is the second confirmed case of avian influenza in Buena Vista County, about 160 miles northwest of Des Moines. But the latest outbreak is an operation with 5.3 million chickens. The earlier case was a farm with about 50,000 turkeys. The latest case confirmed by the state's Department of Agriculture means nearly 12.6 million chickens and turkeys in the last eight states, at least eight states, have been killed or will be destroyed soon. The spread of the disease is largely blamed on the droppings or nasal discharge of infected wild birds such as ducks and geese, which can contaminate dust and soil. Infected wild birds have been found in at least 24 states, and the virus has been circulating in migrating waterfowl in Europe and Asia for nearly a year. And even in Ghana, we've had cases where poultry farms have had their whole stock destroyed. Now, yeah, the government is going to make compensation for it and all. So, you see, the food issue is coming from various angles. So, clearly, you can know that soon, I mean, poultry is going to be expensive because demand and supply dynamics, you know, if there are few poultry for the rest of the world to share, that means the prices will be to the highest bidder, you know. Then, so in the U.S., you have planes. That's plane, like land planes, drought to curb U.S. wheat harvest, adding to global supply worries. A worsening drought in the southern U.S. plains is threatening the region's winter wheat crop, just as the Ukraine crisis dents global supplies. Some farmers in southwestern Kansas, the top U.S. wheat-producing state, have not received much measurable rain or snow since October. Winter wheat is planted in autumn, lays dormant in the winter, and begins sending up green shoots in spring. Proper soil moisture is critical at this stage for the crop to thrive. More than half of Kansas was classified as under severe drought or worse as of March 8th. The driest conditions since 2018, according to the National Drought Mitigation Center. Severe drought is also covering three quarters of Oklahoma and more than two-thirds of Texas, both of which also are large wheat producers. Water woes follow a freak December windstorm that swept away some topsoil in parts of the U.S. wheat belt, damaging some crop land. U.S. hard red winter wheat represents nearly half of the country's overall wheat production and is milled mainly for bread flour. A reduced crop could further stoke food inflation that the United Nations Food and Agriculture said was the highest ever in February. The FAO's food price index averaged 140.7 points last month, a 20.7 increase from a year earlier and surpassing the 2011 record. The U.S. wheat futures soared to the highest levels in 14 years early this last week as the Russia-Ukraine conflict pushed two of the world's largest wheat exporters out of the market, leaving importing countries scrambling for replacement sources. Meanwhile, the winter wheat crop in China, the world's largest producer of the grain, is expected to be amongst the worst ever after heavy rainfall delayed planting. U.S. hard red winter wheat is harvested in June and July. Normally, farmers would sell about half of their crop before harvest, but some Kansas farmers are proceeding cautiously, unable to fully capitalize on soaring futures prices due to the concerns they might not be able to fulfill such contracts. As of March 13th, just 23% of Kansas wheat crop was in good condition or better, 15 points below a year ago, whilst 38% was rated poor to very poor, up 16 points over the same period, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. That is the lowest rating for this point of the season in 4 years, the agency's data shows. So we see there, the problems are just compounding from one country to the other. And the big players in the industry are all having challenges. Two taking off due to war, Russia, Ukraine, China due to over flooding issues last year, the rains, and then U.S. is also a big player due to drought. So, in effect, wheat worldwide is going to be in serious, we are going to have a serious trouble with supplies of wheat in the world this year. So, the bread, expect the prices of bread to skyrocket even to levels never seen before. Oh, yeah. You know, this is not rocket science. It's purely demand and supply dynamics. If it's not there, it's not there. So they have to push prices up for the few that they get because it's going to be expensive to get. And you see, the issue is food planting is not just like things that is just available. You just, okay, Russia, Ukraine, China, U.S. cannot supply. Okay, so let's switch to another country. These are not just available on the spur of the moment because countries have already placed orders to whichever countries they are buying from or whichever farms they are buying from. So it's like oversupplying. It's not the case where they can just oversupply because if they've planted, they've done their planting already. So the harvest most likely is already booked, already sold ahead of time for various countries who have ordered. So countries that used to buy from Russia and Ukraine and China and US now may struggle to get because other countries are already booked by other countries. So it's a very volatile situation for them. And this week I wasn't surprised when I saw the UN Secretary General also comment on the food crisis, especially Africa, going to feel the brunt of it. And let me read from Sudan. Bread riots spread in Sudan amid anti-coup anger. So students in several towns and cities across Sudan have been protesting for a third day against the rising cost of food, especially bread. I hope you understand the news that I just read, the effects it's already showing in Sudan. Report from Nyala, the capital of South Darfur State, says that the students were injured by security forces trying to break up the demonstration. Teachers there have also taken to the streets to express their anger after the police beat their colleagues inside the school on Sunday. And, this was according to the BBC. So, the food issues. But then, to Ghana, we had this report this week. The headline is alert, food shortage to hit Ghana, peasant farmers warn. Consumers who have the means of purchasing food produced in quantities have been advised to do so because there's going to be shortage in the country in the coming months. according to the Peasant Farmers Association of Ghana. Consumers should purchase food items like maize, rice, millet, amongst others, and store them because the prices are going to escalate. Let me repeat. According to the Peasant Farmers Association of Ghana, this is not me, this is not Eben. According to the Peasant Farmers Association of Ghana, consumers should purchase food items like maize, rice, millet, amongst others, and store them because the prices are going to escalate. Unquote. The head of programs and advocacy for Peasant Farmers Association of Ghana, Dr. Charles Nyaba, gave the advice in an interview on 3FM Sunrise on Monday, March 14th. Dr. Nyaba was speaking to the cost of living and price hikes in the country, especially fuel price. Those consumers, quote, I'm quoting him, those consumers who can buy and stock for 2023, not even 2022, serious issue. Those consumers who can buy and stock for 2023 and beyond should start doing so. I will advise them to buy things like maize, rice, millet. The prices are going to escalate because we are not getting fertilizer. Unquote. Dr. Nyaba said increase in fuel prices have increased the cost of tractor services while prices of other inputs have gone up. Ghana should find a way to increase budget allocation to fertilizer subsidies. Things are hard now, but if they can afford, they should buy and stock. Unquote. This is according to Dr. Nyaba. He is in the industry. He knows and sees the realities on the ground. Fertilizer is, because of the supply chain issues, it's been in short supply already before this war came in. For those who remember on this issues program from last year, August, I've been reading reports talking about this food thing, reading UN reports, that's the FAO, food reports and various reports, and been giving the signals and warnings that we are getting to this point. This was before the war. Now the war comes in and it has compounded the thing to a larger fold because fertilizer gets a lot of its input from Russia. So with the ban on the sanctions on Russia and all that's happening, the effect is going to run through. Last week I read the report from the Yara International, one of the leading fertilizer companies in the world, what their CEO said. I read it in last week's news, this program. So clearly the effect is there. I mean, it's the reality. So even in Ghana, the cost of fertilizer now is very expensive. Talk to anyone in the farming sector, and they'll tell you the prices are scary. So the average farmer can't afford it. Those who can afford cannot buy as many or as much as they would want to. In essence, the farm lands that will be cultivated, if even those who get fertilizer, cannot be as large as they would have wanted to farm. And a lot of the type of foods that we plant and all that depends on fertilizer. Without fertilizer, crop yield can drop as low as 50% or below for some, in some areas. So, I mean, just imagine the effect. That's why Dr. Nyaba is giving the signal. And that's the reality. Unfortunately, you know, when you listen to the politicians, they will paint a different picture. Please don't listen to them. I mean, because they make it look like there's nothing is happening. But the reality is the shortage of fertilizer and the little that's available is expensive. So, of course, the effects on local yield will be affected. That's one. Two, we import largely, you know, we import almost everything. I mean, that we eat in this most, a lot of things, the rice and all. The imported one is larger and other things that we import. All these other countries we import from are also facing the fertilizer issue. So in effect, other countries that grow much more to export are also going to have much less this time around. So of course, common sense in business would direct that you keep enough for your country, your citizens, before you export what is left. So these countries that we import things from, the food, the rice, so the Vietnam, the Thailand, the China, and all these places, they are also going to cut on their exports. So that means we won't get as much as we want to import into this country to feed ourselves here. So that's the second challenge. The third challenge is the transportation aspect. And we know transportation plays a critical role in food movements. With the high cost of food, prices of crude, and translating into Ghana pricing, diesel is what is used largely for trucks. Most trucks are diesel. Now, the cost of diesel in Ghana has become far more expensive than petrol. So it's going to translate into higher pricing for, trucks that cut goods. All these prices will be transported or be added to the food price. So, you see, we are going to see a ripple effect on these things, the dynamics. Some two countries are fighting somewhere, but it's not just two countries fighting. The ripple effect runs through the whole world system. And for us in Africa, we are even going to experience it in a more critical way because of our dependence on importation. So this is the reality. So what Dr. Nyaba is saying, for anyone who has listened to this program from last year, August, I believe it's not news to you because I've been saying it in various ways. I've been advising in various ways that we should be like Joseph and be doing what we have to do because we are getting to a season where things are going to be extremely expensive or it will not be available. These things come in a two-stage situation. First is affordability. Now the prices are getting high. It's already high and it's going to get higher and higher and higher and higher. So we get to the second stage, which is the issue, which is the real big deal. That is availability. So affordability, we are in the stage of affordability challenges now where the prices are escalating higher and higher to the point where stocks run out or get reduced significantly. Then it becomes a problem of availability. That is the point where people will be having money and you get to the shop and the shelves are empty. Some countries are already experiencing the availability stage now, where empty shelves is what people see when they go to shops, or things are rationed or quantities are limited in terms of how much you can buy, how much you are supplied with and all that. These are the realities. You see, so it's not to scare you, but the truth is the truth. I mean, it's better you know the truth and then you know what to do than not know what is coming and what is happening, and then you are just there and you are caught unawares. I believe listeners of this program are not surprised by all that is happening now in the world because you've been given much information over the period of time. A lot that is happening now, I talked about it. I gave hints about it. And so if you are seeing it unfolding, I don't believe it should be a surprise because we've said a lot and it's just happening just as we've been saying over the period of time. We are seeing it unfolding right in front of our eyes. Okay, so let me finish off the news and then we'll get more talking done. Israeli NGO, this is quite significant. Israeli NGO mints silver coin to fund a coming third temple for the nations. Bible prophecy people, this is quite interesting. If you follow eschatology or end times, end time cannot be talked about without the third temple. So anytime a third temple news comes up, it's a clear reminder of the times we are in. So this is really NGO. So it says the Mikdash, or down to bracket temple, educational center is in conjunction with Rabbi Hillel Weiss, the former spokesman for the Sanhedrin, has minted a silver coin to promote a practical effort to establish the third temple. The coin contains 10 grams of pure silver and represents three times the amount of the biblical silver half shekel that was donated by every Jewish male to finance the daily operation of the temple. Weiss emphasized that the minting of the coin was timed to coincide with the beginning of the Hebrew month of Adar, when these coins were collected to the temple. It is currently the Hebrew month of Adar. Donating the annual silver half shekel is incumbent upon the Jews, but this is not just a Jewish project, Weiss explained to the Jerusalem Post. The concept of money in the world and all of the basis of commerce has been lost, he said. Commerce is how people interact. The 70 nations would come to the temple in Jerusalem on the pilgrim festivals and interact. They would express their dedication to the common values of the 7 Noahide laws. This would help establish the basis for healthy commerce. If there are no shared values, or if one country allows theft or lawlessness or the spilling of blood, there can be no commerce. He said that what we have now is virtual money, controlled near entirely by rulers who do not fear God. Virtual money whose worth is determined by the fantasies of men. The value of money must be based on gold or silver, and this was expressed every year in the temple in Jerusalem when the value of the silver half shekel was determined according to the Bible. This is the meaning of the mine is the gold and mine is the silver, as referenced in Haggai 2 verse 8. He also cited the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 56 verse 7. This whole temple talk has been coming up seriously in Israel in the last few years. The need to rebuild the temple, the need to rebuild the temple. And for us believers, the more we hear about this, it should tell us the times we are in, because the temple is a significant part of the end times, because this is the temple the Antichrist will be in to desecrate and say that I'm God and all those things. So the fact that the third temple is a topic in recent times in Israel has been, I've read some of the news over the last few years on this program, talked about it and all. So it's the fact that when you hear of the temple, the third temple to be rebuilt, and then tells you where we are, the lateness of the hour. The third temple now, will have to be built as, where it is now is there's this Alaska Mosque, which is a very controversial and contentious location. But as to how it will be built and the circumstance under which it will come up and all, well, at the right time, as the politicians say, when we get there, we'll cross the bridge. So you know exactly what will happen then. Okay, so I think, let me end this year. So the program is Issues of Life. This is Eben, Spirit 88.3 FM. Greetings to our listeners all over the world, various countries and different parts of the country and other regions and all. All right, so this interesting song released by Nathaniel Bassi 3 days ago. I've been playing this song all over, the same song over and over and over from Thursday that I downloaded it till today. And I'll come back. Enjoy it. It's El Shaddai Adonai.
Abraham had waited for his promise to come to pass. He waited 75 years, 76, 77, 80, 85, 90. Then 99, God showed up as El Shaddai. When God reveals himself as El Shaddai, he's about to bring some things to pass. Somebody shout El Shaddai!
We worship you, El Shaddai, El Adonai. We worship you.
all sufficient. Sovereign.
Sovereign.
Shaddai. Can you just give him praise?
Very, very beautiful piece. Nathaniel Bassey featuring Ntokozo Mambo, and that's another lady from South Africa. Also beautiful songs there. And this combination is have lessened and just auto-repeats over and over and over, because the song is loaded with the word of God. El Shaddai Adonai, we worship you. El Shaddai Adonai, we worship you. All-sufficient, Almighty God, Sovereign One, Yahweh of Israel, El Shaddai Adonai, we worship you. El Shaddai Adonai, we worship you. You are El Shaddai, you are Adonai, we worship you. I mean, that's basically the song, but it's a very powerful song, because you see, it's a song of the season that we are in. We need to know God as the all-sufficient, Almighty God, because we cannot just depend on our own strength and our own ideas and our own strategies to keep us in the times that we've entered. We are going to need God at another level, and that's the level of He being El Shaddai for us on our side, being our sufficient and Almighty God. You know, is the attribute of God, the various names of God. El Shaddai is one of such. And, you know, this is first used in Genesis 17:1, where God appears to Abraham. But you see, we should move beyond just knowing God. You know, Sunday, you just go to church, okay, and then, you know, just a ritual. I mean, Sunday, okay, you're a Christian, and, you know, we should move to another level with our relationship with God. You see, because it is those who walk with God at a certain level who benefit fully from His various attributes and who He is as a sovereign God. Part-time believers and Christians cannot experience and benefit from God's relationship that much, because, you know, I mean, even as human beings, we don't, the way we, how we see friends who are unreliable, friends who are just only in need before they remember us and call us, you know, the way we see them is not the same as bosom friends who thick and thin, dry weather, wet weather, always there. That relationship puts that friendship in a very close-knit way. So it doesn't matter the season, it doesn't matter the whatever, that friendship, that relationship is established. When you are helping such a person, it's really, it's like there's excitement and there's joy regarding that help. And you see, that's how God sees His relationship with us. Unfortunately, we are the ones who draw away and push ourselves away because we are busy. We are busy. We don't have time for God. We don't have time for anything God. Sometimes Sunday, remember, we are Christians, so we just have to go and please our conscience. We just go to church, and even that's like we are looking at the watch as many times as we can. It's all about just a casual passing through type of thing. See, we should move our Christianity to another level where we have a standard and proper relationship with God. And, you know, Genesis 17:1, and when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And this was the first time God introduced Himself as El Shaddai. And this was when He introduced Himself to Abraham. And, you know, the reason why we should know God at another level is that the season, we've entered into a different season. It doesn't matter whether you believe it, I mean, or you don't believe it, but the fact is the fact. It's just like when it started raining now, Kumasi, we had rains this afternoon and even this evening. So if it's raining and you say it's not raining, you saying it's not raining doesn't change the reality. Because if it's raining, so if you say it's not raining, well, it's your cup of tea. But the issue is it is raining. So the season has changed. We don't need to believe it before we understand the season has changed. It has changed. So the earlier we renew our minds towards that fact that the season has changed and believe the season has changed, then we can know how to prepare and how to live in that season that has changed, that has been changed to. Because the way we live in a particular season is not the same as the way you live in a different season. I mean, in Ghana, seasons aren't, well, it's just a normal dry season, wet season. But let me use like the northern hemisphere where there's the winter, which is very obvious. And I remember I traveled once and that was my first experience then to a winter weather. And when I came out from the airport and it's like, whoa, the sun was on and yet the cold is like, this is serious. You know, that was my first experience. It's like, hey, it was so shocking because I wasn't expecting, like you are seeing the sun is on, but the weather is cold, extremely cold. Very, very cold. That is like, wow. You see, so your dressing has to be different. Because, I mean, I was wearing a very, padded jacket and all. Because the season warrants that your dressing should be different to be able to live and survive. Because if you don't dress well in the winter, you will die from, is it hypothermia or whatever? You will die. I mean, it's obvious you would die. So the way you live in a particular season, it varies. So in summer, you can see people wearing, some bare-chested, walking singlet alone, all that, because the weather warrants that you can dress that way. But then in winter, you can't walk bare-chested. There's no way you can walk bare-chested in singlet, no. So that season alone demands that you change your lifestyle. It's the same situation we find ourselves in here. The world system has changed. And so we have to now get back to the drawing board. How do we live in this new system that we are in? It's unfortunate that some people just think, oh, all is normal. it's one of those things. We are sitting here in Kakra to normalize again. Please, don't deceive yourself. We've entered into a certain phase where we are not going back to the pre-COVID normal life that we knew. Oh yeah, before COVID, the way we knew life to be, the prices we're buying things, the ease of doing some things and moving and all that. We've entered into another phase of the world. We are not going back. The world is not going to no affordable things as we've known before. Things are just different now, and things are going to continue to be different. So when we adjust and renew our minds to that fact that we are in a new season, now the questions that follow is, how do we live in this season? As believers, the first critical thing we should address is, how then do we live with God in this season? Because we are going to need Him for sure. Oh yes, we are going to need God because things are going to be, this program, I say it as it is. The facts should be said. On the first edition of this program for this year, I remember I said that 2022 is a real roller coaster. The year is going to be rough. I remember I said something like that. And indeed, we are already in March, and I believe people have started. We are seeing it. We are all witnesses to it. Look at the cost of petrol and cost of everything. Transportation is going to be increased next week and all. You see, we can see that things are not as it is. And it's not only a Ghana situation. Though ours seems to be a bit more exceptional because we have our local challenges. And then the external too has been added to it. But the world, you talk to your friends in the US, talk to your friends in the UK, cost of food, things, it's like some, the world has changed. So you see, when we understand that, then we have to now know that how best can we really go through. Let's call it like a Red Sea encounter, where now we are faced with the Red Sea, crossing the Red Sea. We are faced with crossing or going through these challenging times, economically, socially, financially, all the challenges. How do we surmount these things? This is where we need the hand of God on our side. This is how we need God to help us. We need Him in various ways, and we are going to need Him in various ways in the times ahead. So, tonight, I mean, just the introduction of this aspect of it. God willing, next week I'll get into more details. But my mission this evening is to, for two parts, to tell you about the times we are in, the news, what is coming and all, and what to expect and all. And also to encourage you that we should not, you know, I did about 3 or 4 series on fear at the beginning of the year, because I knew we were getting to this point. I knew these things were coming. That's why for those who followed right from the beginning of the year, the topics, the things I was talking about, all geared towards, you know, psychologically, spiritually, and you know, emotionally preparing your minds towards these times we are entering or we've entered. Because it's easy for fear to come in. It's easy for worrying to take over. Because when you look at the cost of items, cost of transportation, cost of this, cost of that, you have bills to pay, you have children, you have fees. I mean, it can be depressing. It can really make things, I mean, if care is not taken, I mean, people get into depression and worrying, anxiety, all these things. Psychologically, people just will be down emotionally and all. But we've talked about these things. We should not let fear take over. We should not let fear take over. We have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We have to depend on the Lord. We have to renew our minds that we are going to trust in God. We are going to know Him better at a level where He is going to guide us, He's going to guard us, He's going to protect us, He's going to provide for us, He's going to lead us, whichever way you need God in your life. Because it's important we place God above all our troubles, above all our circumstances, above all our situations, because He is the one who we will need in these seasons that we've entered, in this season we've entered, and the times we are in. Because, you see, human beings have limitations in how far they can help you. Man can disappoint you, but not God. That's why we should realize that we need His helping hand in the season that we've entered. And it's my prayer that we would renew our minds and we allow God to guide us and lead us. Allow the Holy Spirit to show us what to do. Lead us, guide us, provide for us. You know, do what we have to do. You know what is coming. You have an idea of the times we are in. How do you do things? What do you do? Are you stocking up? How do you do it if you don't have the means? How God can help you? And all. You see, we need the direction. We need His wisdom. Because we need to walk in exceptional wisdom in this season. Oh, yes. We need exceptional wisdom in this season. The way we live in this season is important. We just can't be doing things for doing sake. Oh, everybody is doing it. I'm also doing it. You know, you used to do this. There's a time for everything, as Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We are in a time where you cannot just be wasteful in how you spend your money. And, you know, there are some things, this is not the season to be buying them. It's a waste of money. You have to know how to prioritize. You have to know how to, because you should know the times. You know, you are fortunate to be, by the grace of God, to be listening to some of these warnings, to know what is ahead and what is happening. Many, many people do not have an idea what is happening in this world. And even, let's narrow down to Ghana. In Ghana, this news we talked about here, or I talk about explaining all the supply chain challenges and the consequences of the war and all, many people have no idea what is happening in the world. So they are just walking. It's like, oh, they wake up in the morning, everybody is going there. They have no idea what's happening. So, you see, it's like a lot of people will just get the shock of their lives when we get to a critical stage. And it's like, how come they didn't see? How come they didn't know? But this is all for those who walk in the wisdom of God. You know ahead of time what to do and how to do things. So there will be a difference. For those who allow God to guide them and lead them and give them that divine wisdom, they will know how to put their house in order. And it's very important. It's because the same God who gave us the wisdom expects us to walk in his wisdom. Yes. So God, what's the use of God giving us wisdom and not knowing how to use it? So it's important we allow him to guide us. Information is very important. When you know something, then how to, you know how to also use that information. That's also wisdom. And you've heard a lot of things on this program over the last few months. We've spoken a lot about this time. Now you know them. How do you do? What use do you put these things to? That's the issue. But, well, it's my prayer that it will not just be wasted information, because the saddest part of some of these things is, okay, I heard it and I didn't take it serious. But Eben said it, I didn't take it serious. You know, I know someone sent me a message, one of the listeners, last week or a few days ago or something, yeah. And it's like, the things I said, I've been saying, hey, that's what exactly we are seeing in the news. So I said, well, I mean, is there sometimes at the time of saying some of these things, you may sound like, you know, this guy is not correct, this guy is crazy, I mean, all that. But eventually, time is the best friend when it comes to truth. It's at the right time, the truth will prevail. So, well, I say it as it is, and by the grace of God, as he leads, just say and do what he says we should do. All right, so let me end here by repeating the song as I close with it. And God willing, next week I'll be coming your way. The recording will be on spiritissues.info. And those in the Telegram group too, Spirit Issues, Telegram group, I upload the file there and also the song as I do when I play certain things. I'll add the song to the Telegram group so you can get the song there. All right, so this is Eben. Thank you for listening to me this Saturday evening. And God bless you. Tomorrow, Sunday, try and go to church. A lot of people these days are gradually resigning from church, but it's a wrong thing. We should go back to church. All right, good night, and God bless you.
Abraham had waited for his promise to come to pass. He waited 75 years, 76, 77, 80, 85, 90, then 99. God showed up as El Shaddai. When God reveals himself as El Shaddai, he's about to bring some things to pass. Somebody shout El Shaddai! Sufficient. El Shaddai. Can you just give him praise? Siabonga. Siabonga. Can you celebrate this jewel? This jewel of the kingdom. Africa is blessed. Africa is not a dark continent.